everyone. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am loving my guest today. We have been sitting here chit-chatting for a few minutes, and you are going to love getting to know her. Her name is Abby Ranella, and she is in Idaho right now where it is snowing, and I am in Georgia where it is not. So we're talking about the difference in weather, but you are going to love her. She is a sweet, sweet friend of mine who, strangely, we have never actually met in person, but we have talked a whole lot on the phone and FaceTime and just really gotten to know each other over the past couple of months. And she has been an incredible blessing to me and my family. And I know she's going to be a great blessing to you. So, Abby, I am so excited to have you on. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Yvette. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. Tell us about your family, the Ranella family.
I am the wife of Jesse Ranella, and we have three little ones. We have fifth grade, second grade. You know how homeschool is. What grade are we in? It depends. Do you want to know math or language? Right. So I'm 10, 8, and 4. Okay. Yeah. So, and we've been homeschooling from the very beginning.
I love it. Love it. And yeah. You're a hunting family.
We are a hunting family.
Part of who you are.
It is. It is. It's something that we love to do. It's something we've always loved to do. And we get our kids out with us. And it's really an awesome way to show a creator through being in his creation to our kids and let them see just how awesome God is by being out in his creation.
Oh, so great.
Yeah.
So several months ago, it's been quite some time now, we got this email from you. And we get a lot of emails from different people who just reach out for various reasons. But yours was a little different in that you reached out to us and you just said, I'm Abby, I'm a homeschool mom, I am in Idaho, and how can I help? Mm. And those are the ones where people just say, how can I help and how can I pray? Or I'm praying for you are the most amazing messages we can get, especially from people that we don't know, because that just means that the Lord has laid that on your heart. And so you have been just a great encouragement to our family over the past, you know, many months as we continue on with production of Schoolhouse Rocked. And you've connected us with the Homeschool Idaho organization, and they've been great and encouraging. And you and I have had some really great conversations about homeschooling. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk today about why homeschool? It's a question that so many people ask, and oftentimes we say, you know, if you don't know your why, I talked mm-hmm. with Leslie Nunnery from Teach Them Diligently about this the other day. You know, if people don't know their why of homeschooling, right. It's very likely that they're going to give up and they're going to just say, you know, this just isn't for me. And so let's talk about your why. I want to hear your story of why you chose to homeschool your kids and then why you continue to do so.
Okay. And kind of to expand on what you said, I think we need to know our why, but at the same time, it needs to be the right why, mm-hmm. because there's a lot of reasons that people homeschool that don't hold, that aren't a foundation that's going to hold strong when the winds come, because they're going to. The tough times are going to come. That big yellow bus is going to look so good. So I think it's about having a why and also having the right why. So my story is I was a public school teacher. And I came from a line of public school teachers, and I loved teaching public school. And then when I got pregnant with my first, it just was a no-brainer that I was going to stay home with my baby. It wasn't even like something we really prayed about. It just was something we knew that's how God designed it. And my husband actually said to me, God didn't give us these kids to give to someone else to raise. Mm. And when he said that it was a no-brainer. And through a lot of just seeing God's hand and God's miracle in our life, I was able to quit my teaching job and stay home. And it was only by the hand of God. So we made that decision, and then it just was never a huge thought of homeschool. I never really thought of it. And in fact, back in my early days when I was in college, going to college to be an educator, I remember sitting in the living room with my mother-in-law or in the dining room in the kitchen and arguing with her over how silly I thought homeschool was and actually how wrong I thought it was. And she's such a godly, gracious woman. She just bared with me and probably prayed that her husband would ditch me or her son. I'm sorry, her son. But anyway, she held on, and my husband was homeschooled for a while. So God changed my heart. What it came down to is, again, God didn't give me these kids to let someone else raise. So when it came time to schooling them, it was not a question. They were to be home with me. And And so my why, you asked my why, it started with a lot of whys. It started with, I was a teacher, so why would I teach other people's kids when I can teach my own? And then it went to how awesome of relationships we could have to have the kids at home. And then it went through looking at the statistics that academically homeschool students do so much better. And really, all of those are awesome blessings of homeschool. They're awesome results of homeschool, but they weren't enough of a why. And for everything that my husband and I do, we go to the Word of God and we say, what does God say? Because our emotions can change. You know, on good days, we want to be home. Sure. On bad days, we might not. And so we really just went to the Word of God and we said, you know, what does God say about this? What does the Word of God tell us when it comes to where our children should be and what they should be taught and who should be teaching them? Mm-hmm. So in that, and we can discuss more what we discovered in looking to God's word for that, but that ended up being our why. Our why became because this is how God designed it, because this is God's best and this is what he wants us to do. And that why has held us through really hard days where academically we aren't succeeding above the rest and where it really isn't that fun. And so that's become a really important foundation for our family, is knowing that we're doing the will of God.
Mm-hmm. And there's so much joy in knowing that God has given our children to us. Like you said, mm-hmm. he didn't give them to us to then hand them off to someone else. That's one of my favorite parts of the interviews that we've done for the movie, is we interviewed Sam Sorbo. And she said, you know, what is it that society tells us, you know, once your kids turn five, I mean, they're your responsibility until they're five. And then all of a sudden it's your job to hand them over to someone else and let someone Absolutely. Else raise them. And that is not.
No. And logically it doesn't make sense. I think when we're pregnant, think how many books you read when you were pregnant and you made mm-hmm. sure you took the folic acid and you made sure you didn't eat the raw fish, because we have this innate, as women, mm-hmm. as parents, we have this thing that's in us that wants to protect our children. Right. We want to protect our kids, and we do it when we're pregnant with them. We're so careful when we're pregnant with them to make sure that we're eating right and taking the right things and mm-hmm. going to our checkups. And then when they're infants and when they're toddlers, I got to make sure my car seat's the right thing and they're wearing the right helmets. And we're naturally protectors and we want to protect our kids. And then all of a sudden they turn five and we forget that we have an enemy that's there to steal, mm-hmm. kill, and destroy our kids. Yep. And we're to protect them from that. And, you know, I always think, like, breaking their leg, they're going to heal from that quicker than they're going to heal from exposure to Satan's attacks. Mm-hmm. And it is our responsibility and our job to protect our kids. And that doesn't end at 5 years old.
Right. No, it doesn't. And it is our responsibility to do that. And it is a great blessing. I mean, you know, the Bible tells us children are a heritage from the Lord. They are such a blessing. And society tells us, oh, it's so great. Once they turn five, you get to put them on a bus and ship them out to school and you get to have all this free time and you're going to be free. And right. I remember one of my neighbors once, who lived right next door. She was, I think, probably eight at the time. And she said, why do you homeschool? And I said, well, because I love being with my girls. I love being able to, you know, teach them and spend the days with them. And she goes, but you know, mm-hmm. if you didn't homeschool and you sent them to school, you would have time to go to lunch with your friends. This is like an 8-year-old thing. She goes, you could go to the movies and go to lunch with your friends during the day. And I was like, that's true. And some days that sounds really appealing. And some days I need that. Right. Which again, that's why we need community. And that's another whole topic.
Right.
But I love being the one that gets to train the hearts of my children. Yesterday morning, as a matter of fact, my little one, she had done something. She's my super strong-willed one. And she really has very strong opinions about things. All the way to what kind of socks she's wearing.
Oh my goodness, that's hilarious.
And I forget what it was, but there was some kind of, you know, little debate with her. And she wanted to do one thing. And I said, no, that's not what you're going to do. You're going to do this. And so she got upset. And so we had this opportunity and we sat and talked for probably 20 minutes, just the two of us. She's 8 years old. And I said, you know, God made you on purpose and for a purpose. And mm-hmm. he has blessed you with this amazing and strong personality on purpose. Yeah. But it's mommy's job and daddy's job to help you direct your strong will in a way that honors and pleases the Lord.
Absolutely.
And we talked about it for a long time and she was crying and finally I could see it in her eyes that it kind of clicked in her, like, oh, yeah, I do have a purpose in this life. And I was able at the end to say, you know, honey, if you were in school all day, I wouldn't have this opportunity right now today to sit and talk to you about this. Now, that doesn't mean that kids who are in school and separated from their parents, that their parents don't have opportunities to direct them towards Christ. Certainly they do. But they don't have the opportunity to do it day in and day out all day long. There's so many missed opportunities. And, you know, Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7 is a verse, obviously, that constantly over and over again, you hear homeschooling parents talk about, you know, and these words I command to you that they should be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. And when we leave that to someone else to do all day long, we give up that opportunity to be able to teach the ways of the Lord to our children.
Yes. And we do. And in Matthew 18:6, it says, if anyone causes one of these little ones to stumble, better to have a millstone hung around his neck and drowned. And that's not as quite of an uplifting one as Deuteronomy. But I often think to send our kids into a place where at the very best, they have to stay silent about the existence of a God. I mean, not every school, I understand that not every school is teaching, you know, the transgender movement and the abortion. I understand they're not all doing that, but at the very best case scenario, they're staying silent about a creator and they're staying silent about a God. And they're not able to tell kids, you know, you were created on purpose for a purpose and God has a design for you. And to me, the thought of my child all day long learning things void of God's word would be leading them to stumble. It really felt like I wasn't protecting them the way that God required me to, because it would be leading them to stumble. And then I'd be spending all my time unteaching what they were being taught and having to reteach truth. And I didn't want to spend all my time with my kids having to unteach. I wanted to, through our daily living, teach them. And not even I wanted to, but God tells us to in these verses. And I wanted to be obedient to God.
Right.
And, you know, he says all scripture is God breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training up in righteousness so that our kids are equipped for every good work. And that verse is saying that we're to use scripture in everything, in math, in language. And that's not being done if I send them out to where they have to stay silent about God. And so to me, those verses read, this is my job. This isn't just about what I want to do and that I'm wired this way and that I enjoy teaching, because I, you know, it's really just, this is God's command to me. And I know that when we're obedient to God, there's incredible blessings.
Oh yeah. There are so many blessings. I've said it so many times on the podcast, because we say it to our girls all the time, and that obedience brings blessings, but sin causes pain. And when we do obey God and we take seriously the role that he's given us as parents to train up our children in the way that they should go, we will reap the benefits and blessings of that. And not that we will, I should say our children will. And, and again, it's not that parents can't teach their kids things, but like you said, when they're in a public school setting and they're being taught everything that's contrary to God's word.
Yes.
You talk about undoing it. And we've talked a lot about that on the podcast. We talked with Brian Osborne from Answers in Genesis a few weeks ago, and he was a public school teacher for 13 years. And he said the same thing, you know, you better be prepared to undo what your kids are being taught. But I don't know how possible and practical that is, because if you're not in the classroom with them, you really don't know everything that they're being taught. You don't know what they're hearing on the playground. You don't know what's being said in the locker room, and not even the things that are said, but things that are done. You know, we're from California, and I know everybody across the country kind of looks at California. It's like, oh, California, you know, they have so many crazy laws and stuff, and they do. But it's not just in California. It is quickly spreading throughout all parts of the country. And I think oftentimes people will say, and people have said this to me, and I'm sure they've said it to you, but the public schools in my area are really good. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that means they're just doing a better job of teaching your kids everything that's contrary to the word of God.
Exactly.
And it's a very scary thing for me to think about, because in California right now, it's not just the educational agenda that they have. It is a cultural agenda that they have. Kids in public schools right now in California, if a little girl decides that she wants to be a boy, now any age, I mean, it could be kindergarten through 12th grade. If she decides that she wants to be a boy for the day, they have to, by law, respect her wishes and her desire to be another gender, and they have to give her all the privileges of that gender. And the same, obviously, with a little boy. You know, if a 14-year-old boy says, I want to be a girl today, they have to give him access to the girls' bathroom and the girls' locker room. And they can't tell his parents. They're not allowed by law to tell his parents. Girls can go, and I say California only because I'm most familiar with it because that's that's home. But they will take a little girl, a 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old little girl to have an abortion, to murder her baby. And by law, they are not allowed to tell her parents.
And if that's not causing our little ones to stumble, I don't know what is, because that is leading them right into temptation. Right. And even though we don't believe that and we're not teaching that at home, if we're sending them into a system every single day that sets that foundation. And I go back to Ephesians 4 that says, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And for me, not for me, for all of us, for Bible-believing Christians, we are called to set a foundation for our children in Christ. And when we send them more hours a day, or any hours a day, actually, to a system that says it's okay to murder babies, it's okay to be something that you're not, then you're giving them that, or even there is no creator, this earth happened by chance, they're building a foundation all day long. And then they come home and then you're giving them a different foundation. And essentially these young children who are so moldable, they're building this up, and then you're taking the bricks down at home and putting new bricks in. And then they go back to school and they're tearing the bricks down of what you're teaching at home. And it's just this vicious cycle, and we're stunting our children's spiritual growth because they're hearing two polar opposite things. Right. And to me, if I was a child, which I was in the public school, that led to exasperation.
Sure.
And it says, do not exasperate your children. And how can that not exasperate a child to have to go fill in a bubble on a test that says, yes, I believe that a boy can be a girl and a girl can be a boy. Or yes, I believe that there is no God and that this earth was created by chance, or that I come from, that there is no creator. And I would ask my children to say that during the day. And then I'd come home and tell them to be bold and stand up for Christ. And these little kids are getting such an incredibly mixed message. And then we end up with, at the worst, kids walking away. And at the very best, they end up with a watered down Christianity because they've had two foundations being built.
Right. It's very confusing for them.
Yes.
And they need to have that solid foundation. That's, again, exactly what Brian Osborne and I talked about, is they have to have that solid foundation set for them of knowing what they believe and why they believe what they believe. And when you're putting them in an institution that with teachers who oftentimes really love these kids. I mean, you were a public school teacher. You loved your kids, I'm sure.
I love those kids. And you know what? I was silenced, and I'm the personality and temperament. I could not spend all day with those kids and not tell them the truth.
Yeah. But not all teachers are like that. And not all teachers obviously believe in the truth. And so when you're sending your kids into that environment, you're telling them your teacher is right. Believe what they say. Obviously believe in the history, believe in the science, believe in the math, believe in the English lit, believe in everything that they're teaching you just simply by sending them there. You know, when we go to church, we go sit in church and we worship and we are taught by our pastor because we want to learn from them. We're students, we're disciples.
Because
of them.
We trust them
because
and
we trust them.
What they're telling us
That's
is true.
Right. That's right. And when we send our kids to Sunday school or to youth group or anywhere where they're receiving instruction, the simple fact of sending our kids there is saying, we believe what this person is teaching you is true. And so then for you to bring them home and say, I'm just kidding, that part wasn't true, but this is true, but that's not true, but this is true, but that's not true. That's very confusing to kids.
Yes. And then to tell kids they're lying to you every day, but you need to respect them. Right. And then to tell them you need to stand up for what's true, but you need to take the tests and say what they want you to say rather than the truth. That's not protecting our children. And I think, there is an innate fierceness in moms to protect our kids, that whole mama bear thing, that whole, if anybody tries to mess with my kids. And I want to encourage moms not to lose that. Don't lose that when it comes to their, like, we want to protect our kids from stranger danger. Mm-hmm. And we want to protect our kids if they're walking in the middle of the road. We would mm-hmm. put our life on the line to throw them out of the road. And we would take, we would put our own life in danger. And yet, why are we losing this when it comes to their spirits, when it comes to their minds and their hearts, when we know that there's an enemy that's after them? We need to have that same fierceness in protecting and defending our children's innocence. And that we do from the very beginning. It's not optional. It's commanded by God.
Yeah. Amen. I agree completely. We're going to take a really quick break and then we're going to come back because I want to keep talking about this. Okay.
Wonderful. Yes.
Schoolhouse Rocked is so grateful to be sponsored by the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, known to most as HSLDA. Did you know that HSLDA can make homeschooling easier for you? Well, they can. From preschool advice to interactive online courses to high school diplomas and everything in between, HSLDA offers encouraging support, practical resources, and personalized answers. Learn about all the benefits for your family at hslda.org/join today. That's hslda.org/join today. So we're talking about protection. I remember years ago, Garrett and I might have told this story before on the podcast. I can't remember. But Garrett and I were at a parenting conference and our oldest was really, really little, if she was even born yet. And he said, you know, if someone were to break into your house and your children were in danger, you would not, as a parent, go curl up in the closet and be like, okay, kids,
Good luck.
Good luck with that. I'll be in the closet hiding. I'll pray for you.
When the
intruder is gone, I'll tell you what you should have done or what you we wouldn't do that. I mean, our job is, like you said, to protect our children, to protect their hearts, not just to protect them physically. And actually, and I've told this story for sure, when we first started homeschooling, it was a physical protection thing for us. The school that Brooklyn would have gone to, it would not have been physically safe for her to go. And that was the whole reason why we started homeschooling. At that point, it wasn't because we had, you know, this great revelation from God and that, you know, it wasn't the spiritual stuff. I don't know. We were just very much against homeschooling. And you and I could talk about that in a minute. But we had so many misconceptions about it. And then it came down to the physical safety of our daughter. And we said, okay, we have no other choice. We have to, we have to homeschool her. And I'm so thankful that we did, but it quickly became, we quickly recognized that it was not just a physical protection. It was a spiritual and emotional protection that we needed to cover her with as well.
And no one would question you if you said, I'm physically protecting my child. And, and no one would question what a great decision that was. But when it comes to spiritually protecting our kids, all of a sudden people think we're crazy.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. You know, like I said, one of the reasons that we said we'd never homeschool was because we had so many misconceptions about homeschooling and there's all the negative stereotypes and stuff. What have you come across with that? Because I know that you talk to a lot of homeschool moms.
Yes.
What are some of those misconceptions that you get from them and how do you help to debunk those?
There are a lot. I hear it's an interesting generation that we're in because when I talk to the homeschoolers that have gone ahead of us, a lot of them say, oh, people would say we'd never want to homeschool. And I actually feel like I'm hearing a lot of parents say, oh, we'd love to, but, and I think that's an interesting shift. I feel like I don't get a lot of people go, oh, I can't believe you do that. That's so bad. Actually, I more hear parents say, I think that what you're doing is great. I think it's awesome for your kids. I just couldn't. And then they get out their list and, which is a step in the right direction. At least they're feeling that pull, you know, but I think probably the number one is, maybe moms with careers that I couldn't give up my career. And probably the number one is finances, you know, and that was the first panic that my husband and I had is, well, what about he was like, God provides. I can't even believe you're thinking about this. But I just go back to when a mom says that, first of all, that's a valid, we have to validate that. That is, it is scary. But when we know that God has called us to do something, we also know that he's going to give us everything we need to do it. And that just goes hand in hand. But I always think of Second Chronicles when King Judah was prepping for a war and he paid, the Bible says 100 talents, and I looked that up, and that's a lot of money. Like, it's kind of debatable how much it was, but tons and tons, more than I'll ever see in my life. But that he paid 100 talents of silver for men that God would not have approved of him using. And when a wise man, a godly man came and said, you need to get rid of these people, he said, but what about the money I paid? But what about my money? But what about the finances? And I think that that's what we tend to say, but what about the finances? I can't afford to stay home and homeschool my kids. And I just, in that story in Second Chronicles, the godly man replies, the Lord can give you much more than that. And God doesn't just say things in the Bible and then forget about us in 2019. It's the same message to us today. When we obey God, he can give us so much more than we can do. I have a little quote on my wall that says, God can do more with our obedience than we can do with our compromise. And so that's probably the first one that people panic is, but what about the money? And the second one I hear a lot is, but my kid's supposed to be salt and light. And you just did an incredible podcast with Misty Bailey. So if anybody gets that, what about salt and light? Go back to the Schoolhouse Rock podcast and listen to that one, because that one is debunked very quickly through scripture, honestly.
Yeah.
Which all these are, it's all God's word. What does God's word tell us? It doesn't matter what Yvette or what myself tells you. What does God say in his word? And he's got all the answers there. I think a lot of it is fear. A lot of moms, one of the other big ones is fear. I'm not equipped. You know, I hear so often, well, yeah, Abby, you did it because you were a homeschool. I mean, because you were a public school teacher. You were a teacher. You were trained to be a teacher. And I honestly, that is probably my biggest challenge to overcome is the fact that I was trained to be a teacher in the system. It took me years to overcome that. But you know, God says, he tells us in Isaiah 40 that he will gently lead those with young. He will lead. So if we follow him, then we are equipped. You know, I wasn't equipped when I got pregnant with my first daughter. I had no idea what I was going to do. Nothing. I remember looking at that blue nose sucker going, what is this thing even for? And I'm supposed to save her life with this thing? Like, talk about not equipped. And yet God gave her to me. And then he equipped me to raise her and to... And so he did the same thing with school, and he will do the same thing with every mom when we answer the call to teach and train our kids in his righteousness. He will equip us, and that we're to trust in the Lord, not our own understanding. I don't understand half the math I teach my kids, but I trust in the Lord and they're learning it. So, and he tells us we can do all things through him. And I think that's the big one, is we've got to stop thinking that we need to do it on our own. And if we can't do it on our own, then we might as well send them to the experts. Because the reality is we are the experts in our own children's lives. You know, he made them for us, and he made us for them. And so we just became the expert the day that you conceived that child. He equipped you and you just became the expert.
That's right.
So you can do it, moms. You can. You can do it through him. His grace is sufficient and his power is made perfect in your weakness.
Yep. Seek first the kingdom of God. We were just talking about that with Karen DeBuse, and he will give us everything we need. And it's scary. One of the best things I have ever read about homeschooling is do it scared.
Do it scared. That's awesome. I love that.
It's okay to be scared to do something. Because anything worth doing is scary sometimes.
Absolutely.
Like you said, it's scary it's scary when the doctor puts his baby in your arms and you're like,
yep, I'm supposed to do what?
Yeah. Literally their whole life is in your hands.
But
let me rephrase that. They're not in our hands. They're in the Lord's hands.
They are in the Lord's hands. And he gave them to us because he knows that he can do it, you know, and he knows that our weakness is when we rely on him. And when we are terrified out of our mind, that's when we go to him, you know?
Right. But praise God that we get to lean on him to help us do this. Because if we had to do it on our own, oh goodness, I know for myself, I'd be an absolute disaster if I had to rely on myself to figure out this parenting thing and this homeschooling thing and this marriage thing. I would destroy it to pieces.
Absolutely. And I think about marriage and I think back to the why. I think, you know, if my husband, if you would have asked him why he married me, if his answer would have been, you know, 20 years ago when we met, if it would have been like, well, I thought she was cute and we had fun together, like he'd be singing probably a very different tune right now. And it probably wouldn't have sustained our marriage. But when you did ask him, you would say, because I made a commitment to the Lord. I made a commitment to God, and God's word says and describes marriage. And that's what gets you through the hard times is your why. If your why is, we laugh together, then what about those days that you don't?
Yeah.
And if your why is because God has ordained this marriage, then then you get through it all. And it's the same with homeschool. If your why is because my kids are so fun to be with, well, for crying out loud, I tell you, you better get a new why real quick. Because there's going to be days that they're not.
No, your like kids my, aren't fun every single day like mine.
No, 90% of the time, but on the 10%, whew. But if your why is because God called me to do this, then you can get through anything. And because he can get you through anything.
Yeah.
So, and one of the other ones I get a lot that cracks me up of, oh, I could, this one I probably hear more than any, oh, I could do it. But I mean, I love what you're doing, but I would never have the patience to do it. I get that one all the time. I wouldn't have the patience. And I think, or it's not my thing, you know, it's not my thing. And I think, well, I don't have the patience to do this either, but we're doing it because, you know, And it isn't about being someone's thing. It became your thing the day you brought that child home from the hospital. Yeah. It became your thing because he made you a mom and he called you to be a mom. And that child's walk is not their walk is dependent on you, but what you teach them and train them now will forever affect what foundation they have in the future. So it might not be your thing, but it needs to become your thing because it's his thing.
Yeah. And it's a great thing.
And it's a great thing. It is so amazing. And if you don't have the patience to do it, there is nothing that will teach you patience faster. So God will refine you in it. And honestly, that's it's a blessing. It's with, like you said, that you tell your kids, I love that. I use that ever since I heard you say that. I use it all the time. They're like, Yvette. She says that. But with obedience comes blessing. And we could do a whole episode on the blessings of homeschool. It is truly, for me, one of the greatest blessings I've ever experienced in my life.
Yeah. Well, hey, let's do this. We are out of time for the podcast. And so we need to close this up. I want you to just encourage those mamas at the end of this. But for Backstage Pass members, we are going to continue this conversation. So let's continue it. Let's talk about the blessings of it. But thank you for being on the podcast. And
yes, thank you. And if you're not a Backstage Pass member, guess what? You can become one right now.
And Abby's one, right?
I am. So come hang out with me.
Backstage Pass membership is great. For those who don't know what it is, if you might be listening to this for the first time, we have the Schoolhouse Rocked Backstage Pass membership site. And what that is we have all kinds of videos like the one that Abby and I are doing right now. We extend a lot of our podcast into an extra kind of bonus section and continue discussing what it was that we're discussing. So those are up. But we also have, as we filmed for the movie Schoolhouse Rocked, we have a ton of footage from the movie. And so we obviously can't get it all in an hour and a half long documentary. And so we're taking all of those full interviews, uncut interviews, and putting them up on the Backstage Pass membership site so you can get the entire interview instead of just the, you know, 15 minutes or 10 minutes of each person that's going to make up the movie itself. And lots of bonus stuff. We are adding stuff to it weekly. So so it is a great resource, and it's a great way to support Schoolhouse Rocked as we continue working through production and stuff. Every membership sign up that we get, that money goes directly to production on the movie. So so you're supporting the movie, you're getting something great in return, and Abby's there, so you can hang out with her. So really quickly, I would love for you to just give an encouragement to those moms. The moms I want you to encourage today are those who are in the thick of it right now, and they're tired, and they just are ready to give up. And they're just saying, I can't do this anymore. And I need to find something else besides this homeschool gig because it's not working for me. How would you encourage that, Mom?
The first thing I would say is you're not the first one to feel that and think that. We every veteran homeschool mom has felt that feeling. So that does not mean that you're not equipped. It doesn't mean that they all have something that you don't to be successful. We've all felt it because that's the enemy, and the enemy wants to attack us when we're doing God's work. The second thing I would say is what 2 Peter tells us is that God gives us everything we need. If you try to do it on your own, it's not going to work, but God will give it to you. That's a promise. That's not a suggestion. That's not a, hey, try this. That is a promise that God will. You were made for this. The day he gave you that child is the day he called you to raise that child in truth and in righteousness. And so he's going to stand by your side, and he's going to fight the fight with you, and he will equip you. He will. He will do that. He promises. And the last thing I would say is not just know your why, but you need to make God's word your why, because God's word is our rock and we can stand on his word. So on the days that all the other whys aren't enough, God's word is always sufficient. So when his word and his command to us become our why, then there's nothing that's gonna shake us. So that would be my encouragement, and get a group of moms that feel that community is huge. God gave us the church. God gave us community for a reason.
Yeah. Love it. Beautifully said. Really quickly, where can people find you?
People can find me,
besides in your living room.
I'm right here in my living room, and I'm usually in the mountains, or sometimes I'm in the bathroom hiding. But people can find me at abbyrinella.com. And that's not really a blog, but it's just where all of my husband and I's published articles. We write for many different organizations, and all of our articles are just, that's kind of their housing. So if you want to read any of the stuff that we've put out there, we write on family and the culture war and family values, homeschool. And we also write a lot on hunting and the outdoor industry.
I love it so much. Thank you so much for being on the podcast, Abby.
Thank you
are
so
a
much.
Huge blessing.
Thank you.
And thank you for thank how you've you. Encouraged and supported us as
Thanks
well.
Thanks so much.
So thank you to those of you who are listening, and have a great rest of your day.